And now let us hear the reading of the Word of God, after which I shall attempt to simply call briefly to your attention some of the implications of these two passages of Scripture. I want to call to your attention, of course, the matter of thanksgiving. As Paul seems briefly to state it, and indeed to summarize it, in Philippians 4, about thanksgiving for things of earth, primarily, and then briefly from the revelation of John in the 7th chapter, where the apostle shows that thanksgiving is really a never-ending thing. It is a very vital part of our Christian life here. But it is, I say, never-ending. And heaven itself is our participation in a great chorus of music and activity around the theme of thanksgiving. If you read the book of Revelation, you will find that most of those hymns, and there are several of them, have as their theme thanksgiving to God. Not for apple pie and ice cream. Most anybody can provide that. But for blessings that we sinners desperately have stood in need of, and which God was under no obligation to provide, but which he most graciously and bountifully provided in his Son. And now let us hear a few words from the Apostle Paul. And he means what he says when he talks about thanksgiving, because these words were penned when his back was bleeding and sore in a jail in Philippi. And ordinarily, humanly speaking, he was in no frame of mind to be lighthearted about anything. But he now solemnly gives thanks to God. Let us hear his words in the 4th of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord, as our choir sings very often on Sunday morning and just a while ago. Always, and again I will say it, rejoice. And the reason that he says again, of course, is because when people, if he had said it just once, they would have accused him of just simply saying words. While he's in jail, how in the world can he talk about rejoicing? But he emphasized, again, I mean what I say, rejoice. And then he uses some very interesting words. He says, let your manner of life be made known among all men. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. He never said don't give any thought about anything or not to make plans for anything. We are stupid if we do that. But he says do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, when you make your prayers, do it with thanksgiving, as you make your request made known to God. Do it with thanksgiving. And may the peace of God, which passes all of our capacity to understand, may it keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. And this is a list of some of the Christian virtues that Paul seems to be ever grateful for. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are devout and spiritually inspiring. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Oh, how we need a new look and a good think about the implications of the need of purity in our world and in our living today. Whatsoever is of good report, if there is anything that is virtuous, anything that is worthy of praise, be in the habit of setting your minds and your thoughts on these things. And those things that you learned from me, and which you received and heard and saw in me, be in the habit of doing them. And the God of peace be with you. I just briefly want to summarize this by saying that the apostle is giving thanks for earthly surroundings, for people whom he has known, for these Philippian Christians, some of whom I admit had mistreated him earlier and put him in jail. But he gave thanks to them and still gives thanks for them. And we ought to be in the habit of giving thanks to God for people. Do you do that? It's one of the joyous things of the Christian life, to be able every once in a while and pause and say, God, my Father, I do thank thee for so-and-so and for this person and for that person, whose life and faithfulness and love and witness and thoughtfulness have meant so much to my spiritual growth and my spiritual happiness and well-being. Let's get more and more in the habit of thanking people, thanking God for people who have meant so much to us. And I warn you, let's do it while they are living. Let's do it while they're living. I hope you'll pardon a personal bit of neglect. During this last year, I have lost by death 3 very close Christian friends and scholars, some of whom were teachers of mine. I lost Dr. Patrick Carmichael about 9 months ago. Great Christian scholar, the only Bible teacher I ever had. He wasn't a notable man. The church didn't recognize him or make him moderator. No. And yet he was a man of such Christian graces and worth that he influenced the lives of countless thousands of people. And I find myself more and more thanking my Heavenly Father for Dr. Pat, as I used to affectionately call him, because he loved God and served his Son and wanted other people to do it. And at a sacrifice to himself, made a witness. I thank God for Dr. Pat Carmichael. And I wish that I had been more expressive of my thanks when he was here to hear me express them. And then a few months later, I lost Dr. James E. Baer, the distinguished professor of New Testament at Union Seminary, not a great, well-known scholar. The world of scholarship never knew him. And if they had, they would not have paid any attention to him because he was just too biblical for most of them. And they would not have proffered him the honor which he rightly deserved. But he was a man whose scholarship and love of God had a way of rubbing off on some of his students. And a great deal of his, I'm thankful to say, rubbed off on me. How thankful I am for Dr. James E. Baer. Just an ordinary old gentleman, common as an old shoe, but he loved the Lord and loved the Bible and wanted me to love him. And the hours that he spent, was willing to spend with me, I don't know why he did that. Just with me. And his life has been a blessing. And he slipped away without my really having a chance to express my affection and my appreciation and love. Don't let it happen to you. And then just this week, another very close friend, Dr. Holmes Ralston, who's been ill for about a year. I have had, by the grace of God and in his providence, more opportunity to be more expressive of my real affection for this gentleman because I have visited him often in the last year. He's been up and down, mostly down, and he's, while perhaps has not suffered much, he was a great man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he made a great witness to the church. And he meant so much to me. And I'm glad that I did have an opportunity to express to him and to his family something of my real affection. And just this one more word about Dr. Ralston. At the memorial service for him yesterday at the Ginner Park Church, Dr. John Brown, the minister, did a most unusual thing, and I am so grateful to him. He quoted a couple of paragraphs from Dr. Ralston's last book, which came off the press just about 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago. Dr. Ralston himself never got a chance to really peruse it and to read it. But it's a magnificent study of the first epistle of Peter. And Dr. John Brown read from that last closing chapter where Dr. Ralston imagines that Peter is writing his confession of faith. And it's a new Apostles' Creed where Peter himself is the author. It's a magnificent compend of Christian faith, which was Dr. Ralston's faith. And some of it, whether you see it or not, rubbed off on me. But all of us have these experiences, and I appreciate your being willing to hear just a few from me. But then the next passage of Scripture is from the book of Revelation, where the Apostle John views thanksgiving from a heavenly perspective, where he seems to sum up gather together all of the reasons for thanksgiving. And he says, after this I looked, and behold, there was a great multitude, which no man could possibly number, from every nation and people and tongue and tribe. And they were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they were clothed with white robes. And they had palm branches in their hands. And they keep crying out with a great voice, saying, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne, and even from the Lamb. And so moving is this song of praise to the Lamb that the other host of heaven, my book says the Presbyterians were listed there, you just can't keep them out of heaven. But the angels and the Presbyterians, and all of the angels were standing in a circle around about the throne and the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. And you know what their worship consisted of mostly? Precisely that element that Paul so emphasized. Thanksgiving. Amen, they seem to say to this great song. Now may blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving be to our God. forever and ever. I've just urged you to be thankful for Christian friends here and to express your thanks while you're living, while they're living. Now, let us just as faithfully be aware of the fact that God has done great things for us and has prepared over yonder a situation where our hearts and minds and lives in our resurrection bodies will be giving thanks to God forever and ever. Some of us have more loved ones on that side than this side. Yes. Amen. Thanksgiving be to God forever and ever.